حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد يا رب إذا رضيت، لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان، ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بعلمك ولن تعصى، لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والدين ما شرعت، والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، وكشف الغمة، ونصح الأمة، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherisher, the sustainer, the creator of all, the provider of all, the most knowledgeable of all. We praise him. And we bear witness that there is no deity except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no owner of the title, of the name Allah, of the name God, except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is no owner to the names of greatness, the creator of all, almighty, the provider of all, the sustainer of all, the all-knowing, the king of all. There is no owner to these names except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody in heavens and earth deserves these names except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah, peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Today we are going to explore together a very important surah in the Quran related to Friday where we come. The surah is Surah Al-Kahf, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that it is sunnah mu'akkada, confirmed sunnah, to read it on the day of Friday. Preferably before you come to Friday. If you can't, then before the end of Friday, which is before the sun sets on Friday. And the Prophet told us that whomsoever reads this surah will get two gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two wonderful gifts. The first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put light in his or her heart until the next Friday. That's the first gift. And the second gift, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect him or her from the fitna of the false deceiving Messiah. You might wonder about these two gifts and say, well, wait a minute. Well, what are these gifts? Well, the first one, what is that light that you get in your heart? The light that we get in our heart, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. In the chapter of the light, Allah told himself that he is the light of heavens and earth. So when you get light in your heart, it means that the remembrance of Allah comes in your heart. So that feeling, it's a feeling. The remembrance of Allah, it's a feeling that makes your heart sensitive, that makes you feel closer to Allah, that makes the tears come out of your eyes when you read Quran, when you remember Allah and remember that you're going to meet Him. Whenever this feeling comes into your heart, This is the light of Allah that comes into your heart. You get that feeling? Look at this beautiful gift. For one full week, from the Friday to the Friday, you read Surah Al-Kahf. You get that. You get to enjoy that for one full week. Which means that with this feeling in your heart, you feel more motivated to pray, more motivated to donate, more motivated to do things for the sake of Allah. And on the other hand, you feel, you know, you feel that you dislike this engaging in any activity that is, you know, includes some kind of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And prayer, you love to pray, you love to go to the masjid, it becomes, you know, something desirable to your heart. On the other hand, you will not feel so disgusted and so tired and so lazy when you have to read Quran, when you have to pray. It becomes, and instead of prayer being a heavy duty on your heart, it becomes a desirable thing that you want to do. That is the first gift. Wonderful. How about the second gift? The second gift, protection from the tribulation, the test of the false and deceiving Messiah. No, wait a minute. This one is really mysterious gift. What do you mean, false and deceiving Messiah? I mean, who's going to see the false and deceiving Messiah? The false and deceiving Messiah is, going to appear according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad towards the end of the time. Who's going to live? I mean, most likely, it doesn't seem that the Day of Judgment is near us, that we're going to be able to see the false and deceiving Messiah. So, I mean, how do you promise me of a protection from something that I most likely am not going to face? Now, also in addition to this, what do you mean by the test? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs us through tests in this life, right? And these tests, the purpose of these tests is to show the truth about us. So everyone will demonstrate the truth about his or her self. The stingy will demonstrate his or her stinginess. The coward will demonstrate that. You know, as we say in Arabic, كل واحد يظهر على حقيقته. الوحش يبان وحش والحلو يبان حلو. So everyone will demonstrate and show the truth about him or herself. How? How is this truth is being exposed? By Allah running us through real life tests of submission. So these tests are called the tests of submission or tests of Islam. So if you pass the test, then you are submissive to Allah. You pass the test of submission, then you pass the test of Islam, then you're submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These tests have various magnitudes, from a very easy to very difficult. Some people face very difficult tests, like the early Muslims who supported Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The price of becoming a Muslim at that time was extremely expensive, unbelievably expensive. You lose everything. You're in the middle of the desert, surrounded by deserts. You have no other way of getting any resources, and you are boycotted. Your business goes down. Your life goes down. Your reputation goes down. Your family goes down. You know, your daughters are not able to marry. People calling you bad names. People fighting you, hating you, boycotting you, you name it. Very expensive price to pay at that time. That is a very difficult test. And the people who pass this test, at the end, in Surah Al-Tawbah, which is Surah 10, verse 100, Allah said something very beautiful about them. Allah said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. The early Muslims who supported Prophet Muhammad in the early days, when the price of becoming a Muslim was very expensive, those people, Allah, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah is pleased with them. وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. And they are pleased with Allah and will be made pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He prepared for them gardens of eternity, rivers are flowing underneath, everlasting happy life in Jannah. This is the reward when you pass a very difficult test. On the other hand, in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah is telling us about the people who are straddling the fence. They worship, they are Muslims, when Islam is flourishing, when Islam has flourished, when it becomes fashionable to be a Muslim, part of the new emerging civilization, part of the new emerging righteous superpower, it's very fashionable, it's good for the business, it's good for your life. It is a gain to be a Muslim. You don't pay a price for that. Becoming a Muslim there has different price. I mean, has different value passing this test of submission is not like passing the difficult test of submission in the early days of Islam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلُ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are not equal. The one who became Muslims and stood up for Islam before Mecca was conquered and became a Muslim town, and after Mecca was conquered and became a Muslim town. Both are promised Jannah, but they are not equal. Allah has raised the grades of the ones, the early ones, much higher. Why? Because they have passed very difficult test of submission. If Allah gives you a test of submission to your level that you pass, it's a mercy from Allah. But if Allah wants to punish you, He will give you a test of submission harder than your level, then you fail this test, and this becomes a punishment from Allah. If your level of iman is, let's say, fifth grade, and Allah gives you a test of submission of high school, definitely you will flunk that test of submission. There is no way you can pass this test of submission. At that point, you know that Allah is punishing you. As He said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً. The ones who are disobeying Allah, they should be aware that they get the punishment of a difficult test that they will flunk. But if it's to your level, alhamdulillah, ya Allah, you gave it to me at my level. So when I pass, I qualify for Jannah with your mercy, with your graciousness, with your generosity, ya Allah. So that is the test, the concept of the test. Then what is the test of the false deceiving Messiah? This is a specific test. Like you're saying, test of physics, test of algebra, test. There are several kinds of tests in academia. In life, there are specific kind of tests called the test of the false deceiving Messiah. This test is demonstrated when you are put in a situation where you have to choose between either your basic needs of life, your basic needs of materialism, or you have to choose between either this or you choose your religion. When you have to either sell your religion and keep your basic needs of life, or keep your religion and sell your basic needs of life. When you are put in such a choice, that particular test category is called the test of the false deceiving Messiah. This test existed all the time. It existed in the past, it exists today, it will exist in the future. And the level of this test varies from very high to very low. But the highest level of this test is going to be when the false deceiving Messiah appears in person. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that the worst, most difficult test ever humans are going to experience is the test of the appearance of the false, deceiving Messiah. And He warned him, and He said, every single prophet who came before me warned his followers from the appearance of the false, deceiving Messiah. This test exists everywhere at every time. We can, for example, reading the Quran, we read Surah Al-Buruj. That test that the people of Al-Buruj, the believers of Surah Al-Buruj, have been subject to is called the test of the false deceiving Messiah. When they were being subjected to a test of submission, they were brought to the edge of the trench, and the trench had fire, and they were tested. Which one owns the name of God? Is it the one you claim in heaven, or is it the king? Is the king the owner of the name of God, or the one you say in heaven? If you say Allah is in heaven, and He's the only one who owns the name of God, they push you in the fire. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, I swear by the sky that has mansion, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَرُودِ, and I swear by the promised day, وَشَهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and I swear by the ones who witnessed the event, and by the event itself, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, death be on the people who caused the suffering of al-Ukhdud, the incident of al-Ukhdud, al-Nari ذات الوقود, the blazing, burning fire, إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُلُود, they are sitting on the edge of the fire, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُود, they are testing them one by one in front of the fire, enjoying burning them one by one, the ones who deny them, the king, the name of God. This is a test of false deceiving Messiah. And it is a test with your life or your religion. There is no compromise. Which one That is the test of false and deceiving Messiah. That is, this is a difficult test that those people of Al-Buruj were subject to, yes. But the magnitude, the volume of the test was limited to those few people or those limited number of people. But on the day of the false and deceiving Messiah appears, the entire mankind, the entire humanity, people of the East and the West, are going to be subject to this test. The false and deceiving Messiah is going to own all materialism on earth. He's going to own these resources in his hand. He will have a complete monopoly on materialistic resources. Basic needs of life. Allah created us with basic needs of earthly materialism. We can't live without it. We need food. This is earth. We need to drink from the earth. We need to eat from the earth. We need to sleep and have homes, shelters on earth. Maslow, the very first layer of Maslow pyramid, which are the basic needs of life that we cannot. There is no human that can survive without. This person is going to have a complete monopoly over all these resources. The ones who believe in him, he's going to come back and he's going to say that he is the promised Messiah. All the prophets have told their followers that there will be a false deceiving Messiah coming. Okay? And there will be a Messiah, which is the real Messiah, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which is Prophet Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coming back to earth. So all people of different religions have this concept of the false deceiving Messiah. They call it sometimes Antichrist. You know, some radicals, Protestant, they call the Pope, the Catholic Pope, Antichrist. Some of them, they call the body of the Muslim Ummah, Antichrist. You know, you have various concepts. The people are calling it various names. But they all are waiting for a Messiah to come down. And in their perception, this Messiah is God himself. Is the Son of God, or God himself, is going to come down and rule the earth. So when the false deceiving Messiah comes down, he's going to make that claim, and he's going to make everybody on earth worship him, submissive to him. He will own all the resources on earth. Whomsoever worships him is going to be granted life resources. Whomsoever doesn't will be cut life supplies. And the believers at this day would have no other resort except running away to caves, and the food and drink, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, will be subhanallah, the food and the drink will be subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. No food and drink will be available to them except that, because that guy is in full control of the earth. And you know, you know that with today's technology, you can achieve that. I don't want to dream up a science fiction scenario, but you know that we have Google Earth, we can zoom in, we can spy on the whole earth, you can put a ship where you track people, you can put a GPS, you have a radar that's, you know, you can see any object during the dark, you can really, with science and technology today, you can really have a full control. Now, in the future, you can have more control because of science and technology. At that time, it was very difficult for the companions to imagine how could someone have so much control and power. With today's technology, we're very near from reaching to a scenario where there will be enough technology on Earth that this technology is enough to control all the resources on Earth. We already are witnessing nations that have full control of the resources of Earth on a certain level. That level is going to increase. So that is the first thing the false and deceiving Messiah needs, is a technology that he can utilize to control the whole earth. And then the second thing, the second environment, the second factor in the environment that the false and deceiving Messiah needs a centralization of power, because he will be the sole owner of all wealth and power on earth. So if he appears in a scenario where power and wealth is well distributed among people, then this false and deceiving Messiah can't be the promised false and deceiving Messiah who owns everything, because he cannot collect all these powers and wealth from people when it's distributed over a large number of people. But we can witness today, political scientists are informing us that right now the wealth and power is being the distribution of wealth and power is decreasing. is the wealth and power is being accumulated in the hands of fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer people. It is being centralized. With days and years passing by, the wealth and power is being, you know, growing. The distribution of wealth and power is growing shorter and shorter and shorter, and the centralization of power is growing more and more too. And they expected within a few years that very, very few people will own all wealth and power. Exactly, this is the scenario that the false and deceiving Messiah needs. And then the third factor that the false and deceiving Messiah needs, why is he, comes from his name, why is he the false and deceiving Messiah? Why not the false and deceiving Buddha? Why not the false and deceiving Hindu? Why not the false and deceiving Rabbi? Why the false and deceiving Messiah? The name Messiah means that it will come out of the Christian culture that believes that the Messiah is God, and this culture will be ready to welcome and receive the false and deceiving Messiah and give the false and deceiving Messiah full control, monopoly over earth, wealth and power using the technology and using its technology and using its support and using its resources as a strong culture or a strong nation. Allah knows better. This is what we can read between the lines from the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said every prophet taught his followers about the false and deceiving Messiah. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us about the false and deceiving Messiah and said, teach others about the false and deceiving Messiah. Why? He might not appear in our time. And definitely it did not appear at his time. And he knew that. But is for the word of mouth to spread. So people are aware of the false and deceiving Messiah when he comes. In particular, the hadith where the Prophet described the signs of the false and deceiving Messiah, that he has three signs. The first sign, he will have one eye. Where is the other eye? Allah knows. Would the other eye be covered? Would he be only one eye and there was no presence of a second eye? Allah knows better. It's a useless knowledge. The only part that we can benefit from is that he has only one working eye. One eye. Then the second sign is that the false deceiving Messiah is going to claim to be God and have a monopoly over wealth and power, as we explained. The third sign is, for the people who know this hadith and who know the hadith of the Prophet, they will believe that he is the false deceiving Messiah that the Prophet has told us and warned us about. Only those people who believe in this hadith and have a strong faith will be saved on that day, because they are going to say, no, don't believe in him. He is the false deceiving Messiah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has talked about. Yes, he is. He is going to capture a prominent leader from among them. That's the third sign. And then he's going to bring him in front of the whole world. At that time, maybe the companions didn't understand how to bring him in front of the whole world. But today, I can imagine a scenario like bringing him in a big stadium where everybody is witnessing, and there are lots of eyewitnesses. And it is also broadcasted live on Al Jazeera, on CNN, on Fox News. Everybody on earth is focused on TV, watching that person making announcements. And this person says, I am God, I own the powers of God, I am the only owner of the powers of God, I am the owner of the names of greatness, I am the all creator, I am the all powerful, I am the king of all, I am the creator of all, I am almighty, I am, I am. The person, the prominent leader from the people who, the Muslims who are going to say no, are going to say, no, you are not. You don't own any of the powers of God. You are nothing but the false deceiving Messiah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about. Then he's going to bring a sword and chop him into two halves in front of everybody and say, watch me, people, watch me. He says that I don't own the powers of God. He's going to chop him into two halves. And then in front of everybody, he's going to collect him back and bring him back alive in one piece. And he says, look at me. He says that I don't own the powers of God. Look what I have done. And everybody, you know, because of this drama, is going to be in a very emotional situation. It's a very emotional situation. Everybody's going to cry and say, yes, you are the owner of the, you are God. You are the owners of all these powers. You are the owners of all these names. We believe in you. But that person who was brought back to life
is going to say, if I have any single doubt, an atom weight of doubt in my heart, that you are the false and deceiving Messiah before, now this doubt is gone. It is confirmed for me. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us before that this is exactly what you're going to do. This is exactly what you're going to do, and I mazdadtu bika illa kufra. And what you did increased my denial of your claims. Nothing but increased my denial of your claims. The ones who know this hadith are the ones are more likely to be saved from that fitna. And this is why the Prophet said, learn it and teach it to your children and your children to your children. Pass it by. It's important. So that if that false and deceiving Messiah appears, your children know, and they might be from the ones who run away to caves and pass the most difficult test ever abused on earth, which is the test of the false and deceiving Messiah. How about us? How about does it apply to us? We are being tested, tests of submissions, not to that level, but we are put in a situation where we have to choose either between sacrificing our religion or a portion of our religion in exchange of basic needs of life. And we do sometimes, because of our weak faith, because of our weak iman, we do sell portions of our religion and do accept that price, which are the materialistic earthly gains in exchange of that. So, on our level right now, if we read Surah Al-Kahf, we're protected for 1 week from the fitna of the false and deceiving Messiah in that form. So if we are put in that test of submission, it's either that if we are not to the level of that test, Allah will push it away from us. And we will not be put in a situation where we're being tested to start with. If we are weak, too weak to pass the test. If we are strong enough to pass the test, then Allah is going to bring the test to us and help us and inspire us to pass the test so that we get the reward of passing the test. Either or. But the ones who read Surah Al-Kahf, they get these two gifts. The feeling of the presence of Allah, the feeling of the light in their heart for 1 week. That's number one. Number two, the protection of failing, or the protection from being exposed to the specific kind of test called the test of the false and deceiving Messiah, where you have to choose between your faith or materialistic earthly resources. You have to sell one and get the other. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this test and to make us from the ones who read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday so we get these two gifts. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Very quickly, I am going to highlight for you how Surah Al-Kahf is related to the false and deceiving Messiah. In 1 minute, so that I don't make you late going back to your work. When you read the Surah, compare believers running away to the cave at the time of the false and deceiving Messiah, because they have no other resort except caves. Caves who don't have any means of life, no water, no food, no beds, nothing. But this is the only way to run away and to preserve the religion. Compare it to the story of the people of the cave. Compare the cave with the cave. And you will understand the link. And then come to the next. The surah has 4 stories representing the struggle and the war between materialism and faith. That is the first story, the people of the cave. The second story is the story of the owner of the 2 gardens. There is a struggle between himself, who represents earthly materialism, 2 gardens and power and wealth, and his friend, who represents faith. He doesn't have 2 gardens, he doesn't have money, he doesn't have nothing, he's poor, but he has only faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was a struggle and debate between them. Read it and link it to the struggle and debate between you, inside you, between your temptations, who are inviting you to the earthly resources, earthly materialism, and between your faith, who is inviting you to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, when you read the third story, between Prophet Musa, who have a knowledge that is related to our earthly life, versus the righteous believer who have knowledge related, divine knowledge from Allah, who's not accessible to us. It is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He gives it to whomsoever He wants. And you can see how the two bodies of knowledge are struggling together. And at the end, the divine knowledge was proven to be more superior to the earthly knowledge required for us to conduct our earthly business on earth. And then the last story is about the king, who is the complete opposite of the false and deceiving Messiah. He owned all resources on earth. He ruled the east and west. He is Dhul-Qarnayn, the king of the two worlds. One horn represents the east and his crown. The other horn represents the west. He is the total opposite of the false and deceiving Messiah. Look at the connection between him and Allah. فَأَتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. We gave him means of power, all means of power. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So he thanked me by following the means of righteousness. Righteousness has means. If you don't follow it, you would never achieve righteousness. Like the prayer and fasting. All these are means. Natural means to achieve righteousness. So this guy, أَتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. We gave him the means of power. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. He thanked me by following the means of righteousness. And the link between his will and the will of Allah, ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. And how did he at the end demonstrated a complete opposite values and the complete opposite model to the model of the false and deceiving Messiah? And one very, very last unique thing about this king is that, and also related to Surah Al-Kahf, is that this king, before he dies, his people told him, why don't you build a monument or something big and huge to make your memories and everlasting memories, so people will remember you forever. Just like the Pharaoh. Anytime you visit Egypt, you see the pyramids. What do you think of? Pyramids remind you of who? Of the Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh made his memories everlasting memories by building the pyramids. And that was his intention. And he got it. Okay? And also Allah said furthermore, فَلْيَوْمَنَ نَجِيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. Also your body is going to be an everlasting body. More. So your memories are everlasting memories. But لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفِكَ آيَةً. So that people will learn lessons from your destruction. Anyway. So guess what did he say? He said, no. I am a poor slave of Allah. I die and I get buried under the dirt and I get forgotten. Just like any other slave of Allah. My memories dissipate, my memories go away, and I get forgotten. I will be forgotten just like anybody else, and I want this to happen to me. Only Allah to be remembered forever. Only the remembrance of Allah is the one that stays forever. And he refused. Allah gave him the highest level of everlasting memories. The highest, the most honorable, everlasting, kind of everlasting memories by mentioning his memories on the Quran and make it an everlasting memories until the day of judgment. We worship Allah by reciting his memories. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين. وعلي بفضلك يا ربي كلمة الحق والدين. انصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ادفع عن أحيائهم واشف مرضاهم وفك أسراهم وتقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه ثانيا، فقال جل من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا you believers صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Say اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
Make straight lines, fill in the gaps, foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder, pray in humbleness as though it is the last prayer for you before you meet Allah. We have a room here for two people. May Allah bless you. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين نحن نقص عليك نباهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا وإذ اعتزلتموهم وما يعبدون إلا الله فأووا إلى الكهف ينشر لكم ربكم من رحمته ويهيئ لكم من أمركم مرفقا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين المال واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم أن لن نجعل لكم موعدا ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.